Tim, would you do our scripture reading today? It's James chapter 2, verse 18.
The title, Faith and Deeds. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do.
Thank you, Tim. How many of us this morning remember the line, or the game show, where the line was, will the real so-and-so please stand up? Does anyone remember, Bill?
To tell the truth.
To tell the truth. Now, To Tell the Truth was a classic game show. It was from 1969 to 1978. How many of you remember that show? Anybody? How many? Quite a few of you. Okay. So Sarah's back there. She doesn't. How about Danelle? Did you ever watch that? Okay. So you okay? So, and it's good to see them here this morning. Thank you for being here. But anyway, this classic game show in which a person of some notoriety, okay, plus two imposters. So there were three people on a panel. One was, you know, noted for coming on for a certain reason. The other two were imposters, okay? But these imposters, they tried to match wits with the one that was there for, you know, that purpose, okay? And what they would do was they would have a celebrity panel also of Hollywood celebrities. Now, some of, let's talk about the host that they had. They had Bud Collier. Anybody remember Bud Collier? I don't remember that one. I do remember Gary Moore. Gary Moore had quite a character about him. But did you know that Alex Trebek actually hosted that show too? I did not know that. He had to have been pretty young, I would think. So anyway, but celebrities consisted of Kitty Carlisle, thank you, whoever said that, Peggy Cass, I don't remember that one, Orson Welles, I do remember that name. How about, of course, Betty White? What game show was she not on, right? I mean, she was on everything. Betty White and Nipsey Russell. Yeah. And then Alan Alda was actually on this on this panel. Again, what they would do is there were three individuals who were on the panel were claiming to be that person that is in question, okay? And they were asked questions to find out which one was that real person, okay? In one particular show I want to share with you, give you an idea of what the show was about. There was a guy named Johnny Marks. Now, Johnny Marks was the guy who wrote the lyrics to Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. So, of course, they had to ask him a bunch of questions to find out if he was the guy, if he was the real thing, the real deal. Now, the thing is this. If you were on the panel and you managed to trick them into believing that you were the one, you won $250 because you tricked them or witted them out of, you know, they thought that you were the real thing. So that those out of those three panels, I'm sure that the guy that was you know, like Johnny Marks, he got paid. But the other two also got paid a certain amount of money by tricking them, lying to them, okay? So anyway, the celebrities found out how difficult it was just to ask questions about as simple as finding out whether this guy was the author of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. They began to realize how difficult it was because the imposters finagled the truth, okay? Which made, of course, for interesting television. So as unbelievers look at us as Christians today, and they see our lives, the best test for them is not asking questions. The best way for them to see if we're the real deal is by seeing. By seeing. In other words, they look at our fruit. If our fruit is bad or if our fruit is good. And what I mean by that is, am I showing unforgiveness or am I showing forgiving? Am I being appreciative and positive with that individual, or am I backstabbing them? Or being negative about them, or am I being critical with them? Okay. So this morning I want to open up a good example of this. This morning, and the true story. This is one Christmas, a pastor's wife decided to buy him a license plate surround. Now, what that is a plastic frame that goes around the license plate. Now, most cases, a lot of people buy the vanity plates, but we all know those are probably pretty expensive, okay? So she buys him this plastic surround to go around it, but with this plastic frame, you could add something to it. So what does she put on it? Clergy on the top in one of the pieces of the frame. Big letters, clergy, with two little crosses on both sides. Okay. So it says here, it usually has stickers and a phrase on it. So again, I talked about the fact that she puts clergy on it. So he opens up this present. The first thought, of course, is, oh dear. Oh dear, now I can't drive like a maniac. I can't yell at the people. I can't blast my horn. Or I can't shake my fist whenever someone cuts me off. And I can't weave in and out of traffic, and I can't run a yellow light. He goes, now I'm no longer an anonymous driver on the road. I'm no longer an anonymous driver on the road. Now everyone knows that I am a clergy person, and they will judge my driving based on what they read on my license plate. So he sat there for a few seconds, holding his present. Then one of his wife's feelings, wondering if he really, really wanted to have this gift. Did he really want to put this on his car and make his faith public? Ouch. How many of us remember when we've watched old movies in the 20s and they used to have these big billboards on the front and the back of them, and they had a rope that, or a strap that holds it, and it was lunch, and they were advertising because that's how they did it back then. They had people walk around the blocks and they would go lunch at so-and-so is such and such a price, or today Monday they're having this kind of sandwich at Joe's place, and they had people, you know, so it was a way to advertise. Well, wasn't that what this clergyman was doing when he's got this clergy thing on his plates? He's advertising who he is. But yet again, he's saying, do I really want people to know who I am? You say, this is the point, isn't it? People should know that we follow Jesus as Christians. The presence of Jesus and our alliance to him and upon the Spirit that lives within us. Our expression of love, our desire to care for other people. And the way we walk out our faith, the way we walk out what we believe in, the way we walk out the Word of God. This is why the exhortation from James is so important. In the book of James, it challenges us to think about how our connection with Jesus is lived out in our lives. So listen to this. It says James chapter 2, 18. James writes, what good is it? What good is it, brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but no deeds? In other words, what good is your faith? What good is your faith? If our relationship with Jesus is just a matter of religious words, it's just words that come out of your mouth. In other words, are you practicing what you're preaching? Am I practicing what I'm preaching? Believe me, every single day, that is first and foremost. I mess up just like everybody else. I certainly do. And when I do, I came up short here. I know my attitude's not the best. I yell at my dog and I say, Lord, I'm sorry. I yelled at my dog, you know. But see, it's those little things. It's those little things that get our attention to help us that when we get into the bigger things, it's that little things that help us practice. So when we get into the bigger things that really cut us raw, really want us to take shortcuts, really want us to blow a gasket. But it's those little things. You know, it's like, you know, you get up in the morning and you drop something, and then 2 seconds later you drop something again, or you stub your toe and you go, is this whole day going to be like this? Is this, Lord, is this where we're going today with this? Okay. How many of us have probably said that? This morning, okay, I heard that. So, can such, you know, that kind of faith, a watered down faith, a faith that doesn't have action to it, is that going to save us? Absolutely not. Is it going to get us to heaven? Absolutely not. James is saying here, display your faith. How do we display it? Through the fruits of the Spirit. Faith can't just be something that we say. Faith has to be something that we do. It's not enough to rest upon the private thoughts or prayers in our comfortable prayer closet. That's not where faith is. Yes, we're supposed to get before the Lord. We're supposed to be on that one-to-one relationship with the Lord. I do it a lot in my car when I'm going from A to B. I'm constantly praising the Lord, singing or talking to the Lord. I don't know what it is. Sometimes in my house, I think, and there's nobody in the house but me. I don't know why in my car it just seems more, I don't know. I just feel comfortable there and know that I can, you know, I can be angry with God. I can tell him how, I mean, like when I left the church last night, going home and going, Lord, it's so beautiful. We had such a great day. I'm so thankful that we have such good friends. And, you know, I was just showing him my appreciation. That's faith. That's taking the faith to know, I know God's hearing what I'm saying. I know that God is hanging on to my every word because he loves me, because I am his. It's not who I am, but whose I am in him. I love this. It says, there was a young group leader who says this, if being a Christian, so I'm going to ask you this morning, if being a Christian was illegal in our United States, in Illinois, if being a Christian was illegal, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Ouch. The love of Jesus received in faith. Now, let me say that again. The love of Jesus that is received, we receive that love in faith, it should transform us. It should transform us. A good example of that is by what I just shared with you, with Hunter. Your prayers turned that life around. It transformed him. In other words, I got to say this real slow. In other words, we live it out not to prove our love or to earn God's favor, but as a natural byproduct of a life-given connection with Jesus. There's not a motive. There's not a motive of I expect his favor from him, all right? Or I have to prove my love. No. You just automatically want to do it because of that relationship that you have. Here's a very good example. When you had your children and they came into this world, no matter what they do, what they have done, you still love them. You might not like what they said or what they did or the choice that they made, but you love them. And nothing, absolutely nothing's going to stop that love. That's the way the Father sees us. So when we, by faith, receive that love, it's just like we want so much to just please him. Not out of have to, but because we want to. How he's changed our lives. It says, true faith is active. It's not passive. Faith is an act of commitment that is demonstrated through how a person lives. Faith is more than just believing in Jesus. It involves trusting in Jesus. And trusting in the fact that he is going to fulfill a promise through you. Through you. Jesus says that our faith is reflected in our lifestyle. And that our good deeds are the evidence of that faith. So here are three things that we can do to show that faith, to show that that love. Celebrate that lavish gift of grace. When we really begin to realize that God, when Jesus died on the cross, we were given the gift of grace. Again, mercy is not getting what you do deserve, and grace is getting what you don't deserve. And what that means is God's blessings, God's favor on our lives. So God is lavishing this gift of grace, this favor, these blessings on our lives because we accept Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. We need to show a joy to the one who gave us that grace and an appreciation for the one who gave us that grace, but we also need to show others that we have that joy and that we are so overwhelmed with love and compassion towards the one who gave us that gift of grace. That joy should be overflowing in us to the point when other people see us, these other people want to be around you. I like that person. They're so full of life. They're so bubbly. They're so, and not in an annoying way. You just like to be around them. How many of you this morning can quickly, in your mind, think of somebody that you just like to be around? You just like to be around. Like, I'm sure Kay just loves being around Viren all the time because he's such a humble man and he's so likable, He's just so likable. He is, isn't he? Secondly, show your faith. Show your faith. Here's a great example. Here is a great example. Wedding rings, they don't make people married, right? Wedding rings don't make you married, but they declare that you are married when you have it on your finger, right? The same is true with a Christian. Baptism isn't a thing that will get us to heaven. Being baptized doesn't get us to heaven. Having faith to believe that Jesus is our Lord and Savior is what gets us to heaven. But we are asked to be baptized, and what else are we asked to do in Matthew chapter 28? We are asked to baptize others in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is another expression of that faith, another expression of that love. Number three, share your faith with the people around you. If you are excited about what God has done in your life, what he's done in the past, what he's doing now, and what he's going to do in the future, you're going to be excited with that excitement. How many of us, my daughter had a baby, my son had a baby. You were excited. You couldn't wait to tell everybody, right? I'm excited. My son is, I just found out Friday, he's graduating after 10 or 15 years of schooling to be an archaeologist, that he's going to graduate December 13th, 14th of this year. Hallelujah. But I'm excited for him. And not only that, he's going to be hired by the university that he's graduating from to go to Guatemala to do digs where they've never done digs before. I'm excited! After 10 or 15 years of college. And his wife is definitely excited. But the thing is, that's how God wants us to be when we serve him. He wants us to get excited about what he's called us to do. If you are excited about what God has done in your life, then we need to share it. There's a lot of ways that we can do that. We can plug into serving God. And you know, when you read that, I gave the loyalty letter to Allison this morning to kind of go through. And it talks about how you guys this year, I mean, I've been here going on 5 years now, and I mean to tell you, you guys are jumping in with both feet. You're not just 1 foot here and 1 foot in the world. You guys are jumping in. You're putting your hand to the plow. You're going above. You're going up that extra notch. And what are you doing? You're doing just what this message says to do. You're excited and saying, I'm excited about what you've done in my life. I want to express my love to you. I want to show you. And then not only do I want to do that, I want to show others. So I'm going to be a part of this ministry. And I'm going to do whatever I can. I'm going to put my hand to whatever you call me to do, God. And I'm going to step out, and the people, you're going to bring them in. We'll do our part, and God, you will do your part. Now, Love isn't visible. We know that if I was to put love here, the word love, you'd see the word love. But can you visually see love? No, you can't. You can't visually see it unless there's action that goes with it. In other words, if Paul goes out with Terry to their car, he's going to open the door for her and show her his love. Same with Bill and Cheryl, Bruce and Carolyn. They have ways, all of you that have husband, wives, or kids. Allison, the way she treats her mother, I love watching her around Mary. She's not like overbearing mother hen type thing with her, but the respect that she shows her mother. The thing is this, when we show by action our love, be it a brother, sister, husband, or wife, aunt, or uncle, grandma, or grandpa, or brothers and sisters in Christ, when we show with action, we're expressing love. That's how you see love, is through action. Some people think faith is just a conversation, or it's an idea, or to be discussed, or it's a theology that needs to be debated. That's how they see faith. But faith is much more than that. In James, it teaches us in verse 16. He read 18. We're talking about verse 16 here. It says, now someone may argue, James says, sometimes people have faith, others have deeds. James says here, but I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith, says James, because of my good deeds. So what this scripture is saying here, James is saying, he says, so here's James describing a person who thinks that they can be separated, that my deeds and my faith can be separated. They cannot. They're connected. So James talks about this. James also says, he can't see your faith if you don't show your good deeds. So it's the same with faith. It's the same with love. Okay? His life had been changed by his faith, so James says he can prove his faith by pointing the way that he serves God and the way he serves others. One way to explain this is to consider love. Again, I talk about that. Love is invisible. We know that. Unless you are able to see it in action in the same way, the only way you know if someone has real faith is by looking at how they live. James essentially is saying, if you claim to be a Christian, ready for this? If you claim to be a Christian, then I have a right to ask you to prove it through your actions. That's pretty bold, but it's the truth. It's the truth. The point is this. Someone as big as God, can't possibly come into your life and say that you haven't visually seen a difference in your life. In other words, when God comes into our lives, there's no way that something is not going to change in your life for the better. Right? Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5:17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. It says, the old life is gone and the new life has begun. All of us have heard that scripture. Galatians 5:22-23 says this. This scripture gives us an assistance on seeing the good and the bad fruit. In other words, the good fruit is, we look for love, joy, peace, patience, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We certainly don't want unbelievers to be deceived. When I read this and was writing this down, the thing that came to me was a wolf in sheep's clothing. None of us want to have that label on our license plate. I'm a wolf in sheep's clothing. None of us want that. The thing that we need to do in the mornings when we start our day is we say, Lord, show me how I can act on my faith. How I can act on my love. Show me how ways in which that I can do that. It goes on to say here that, but as believers who are filled with the fruits of the Spirit, and that we serve a real good shepherd, a God who is full of grace and truth. And again, how do we know? How do we see that? By their fruit. Is it good fruit or bad fruit? So today I'm going to close with this, and I want you to think about these today, throughout the day. Let one of these catch you, and I want you to ponder on it, okay? Listen to this today. If an unbeliever sees Christians at odds with each other, they will question Jesus' impact on their lives. So if you're suing another Christian, and the public knows about it, there might be some people out there, yeah, they're passing judgment. Sure they are. But the thing is, if there was some other way that maybe this dispute could have been handled other than taking it to court or whatever, you need to ask God to give you wisdom on how to do that. Because when outsiders, unbelievers, see some of the decisions that we make towards each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, there's like, well, Jesus certainly didn't make an impact on their life. Now, did he? Or is this Jesus thing really real? Number two, just as our flesh is at war with the Spirit, our faith is at war with the world. Our flesh is constantly battling. I've talked about that before, where, you know, here's our flesh and here's the Spirit, and they are constantly, 24/7, flesh wanting its way and the Spirit wanting to do what God wants. Every single second of the day, you're dealing with that. Every single day. That's why you need the Word in you. That's why you need to hear the Word. That's why you need to confess the Word. That's why you need to be with others around you that do the same thing, that can encourage you and that can be there to lead you to a scripture that will help you if you're going through a battle. So again, your flesh is constantly battling against the Spirit, number one. Our faith is constantly battling against the things of the world. Temptation is always going to be there, and it's always going to knock on your door. It doesn't care if it's the front door, the back door. I've got five doors, and it'll come through any door that you allow it to come in, temptation. So faith is always going to fight a war against the world. Lastly, we cannot choose as believers to follow God only when it's convenient for us. This pastor, I'm sure he did put that surround thing on his license plate as clergy. And in closing, I told Bill I was going to pick on him today a little bit in closing. Yesterday when we left Bruce and Caroline's, we were just coming up to Henry at a junction. Bill saw it, and the guy pulled out in front of him. He was a little ahead of him, but he knew that this guy was going to pull out in front of him. Bill had both hands on the steering wheel. Now Bill, I didn't see him go, I didn't see him do that. I did hear him, although, murmur something. I don't know quite what he said. Did you remember what you said, or if you said anything, or like he might have went, I don't know. Do you remember what?
It was just like, I'm surprised he pulled out that. I was that close to him that he pulled out.
Yeah, and he didn't just like gun it and go out. He was like, but Bill didn't give him the fist, and he didn't, cuss or anything like that. But see, that's who Bill is. That's part of who Bill is. He's the real deal. And I love, Bruce said that to me a long time ago. He says, I come here, Bonnie, because you're the real deal. You guys, you're the real deal, every one of you. I see it in you every time I'm with you. I see the real deal. I honestly do. Thank you. Because every time you're the real deal, what are you doing? You're expressing God's love, God's compassion, God's joy, all the fruits of the Spirit. You are showing that Jesus
has made an impact on your life. Veronica and Dave, how many years being dedicated to Cops for Cancer? Every one of us in this room have been dedicated to serving God in one form or another by putting your hand to the plow. Begin to realize that God, that we cannot choose as believers to follow God only when it's convenient. And in those moments, the world is watching. And what are they watching? They're not hearing, just like on to tell the truth. They're watching to see if you have good fruit or bad fruit. Amen. With that, let's close with our prayer. Bow our heads. May our works and our deeds, Lord, be a testimony of your faith, our faith to you, Father, and help us to light this world and to bring glory to your name through every situation, every circumstance that we walk through, Father. Let us show the fruits of the Spirit in Jesus' name. Let's stand for our closing. Cheryl, I'm sorry we're running a little late.